Hey, greetings everybody. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, coming to you today, it's a rainy day in van life. We like rainy days. Gives us a chance to get caught up. I want to talk to you today about reputation. Reputation. It's not a common topic, but I think it's an important one. It came up recently when I was talking to some saints, and I want to cover the importance of reputation today. Have you ever pondered that? Your reputation as a Christian. First, let's look at God's word on reputation. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Yeah, it's saying there, good reputation, even a little bit of folly is not a good thing, right? How about Acts 5:34? Then there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So these people respected this man because of his reputation among them. Reputation. What does this mean? Well, let's look at this Greek word, timios. It means honored, esteemed, valued, beloved. All right, so we're talking about reputation, not of the world. You know, he's worldly, he's rich, he's famous, he's a sports figure. That's all carnal, worldly things. In context, we're talking about the reputation of God. The only way to have a good reputation in the things of God is being born of Christ, living holy, keeping his word and ways. A lot of other things, coming out of the world, all of that. But if you don't have that, you don't do that, and you've chosen sin, as a claimed Christian I'm talking about, you're cast out of the New Testament body, you're rejected by the people till you repent. Church discipline, right? Body discipline. Then your reputation is stained. You did a major sin. We'll talk about that in a minute. A weighty sin, I'll say. But of course, you can repent. You can be cleansed by Christ. You can be washed clean. But your reputation has been marred. Especially if you want to be a trusted leader, teacher, or an elder. Let's look at King David. King David, a man that the Bible says was after God's own heart. Great man of God, but a reputation stained forever. Why? Murder and adultery. Yeah, as he had faith in God, he committed adultery, then he committed murder. And you know what? I ask people all the time, what do they think of when they think of King David? Hardly anybody says the first thing, man after God's own heart, or great king of Israel. Almost everybody says, he committed adultery and murder. It was never washed from his record. He was forgiven before God, absolutely. But his reputation has been stained by sin. Now, Apostle Paul, yep, he was a murderer when he was a Pharisee, a religious leader. That was before he was born again in Christ. So the timing of your sin matters, because most people, when they think of Paul, when I ask them, they think great man of God, a man that went and established New Testament bodies. He wrote most of the New Testament, right? Most people don't say murderer, because most people realize that was before he was in Christ. David did his sin while he was in Christ. So when we do our sin, can affect our reputation, even though everybody still remembers Paul was a murderer. People that know me remember my past before Christ, that I was wicked, worldly, carnal, the worst of the worst. But you know what? It doesn't affect my Christian reputation, because I repented, I was washed clean, and so far I've avoided falling into sins that are weighty, public, and destructive. Yep, I can sin like everyone else, I could choose bad ways, but I'm talking about the weightier matters that will bring down a ministry. Yeah, so far I've been able to avoid that by the grace of God, the mercy of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, not because I'm smart or good at this. It's because I'm clinging to Christ with all that I am. So let's talk about three main types of reputations as we discuss this. I think there's three main types. First, there's a good one. You want to have a good reputation. You get this by the gospel, being born of Christ, then living a life of holiness and obedience, service and ministry to others, being faithful over time. Yeah, that's how you get a good reputation. Doesn't come all at once when you're new. We'll talk about that. It comes over time as you remain steadfast in the faith, doing the things of God, doing ministry, being faithful, being a servant, called and working right where you are. You know what it reminds me of? Like a tree. Everybody can look at a big giant oak tree that's 6 feet around, and everybody can go, wow, that thing is steadfast, it stood the test of time, it's mature. Look at the reputation of that tree. It gives shade to everybody, it gives nest for the birds, it's a whole eco center of itself. Look at the reputation of that tree versus a little sapling that's 1 inch round. People go, well, it's an oak tree, he's kind of little, he hasn't done much yet. Let's see how he turns out, right? So that's the difference. A good reputation from time-tested, walking in the things of God. In the case of a teacher, having resources, we'll talk about that more. Having good discernment, using wisdom, keeping himself out of sin and the bad, weightier sins that would destroy a ministry and cause him to be rejected. How about a bad reputation? All right, this comes, as we claim Christ, by keeping sin, not walking holy, choosing worldly false ways, being carnal, being double-minded, living in our flesh, coming in and out of false ways like churchianity systems. Those are just some examples. By doing this, you get a bad reputation, okay? And you can't easily leave a bad reputation. Ask King David. Ask any man that's claimed to be a teacher or a Christian that's fallen into sexual sin or legal battles. Yeah, you can't get out of those and away from those very easy, can you? God forgives. Oh, he does. He'll wash you clean, no doubt. But people never forget, and they shouldn't, honestly. If a man is caught stealing money or molesting children, he should never again be really fully trusted around money or small children. He can be redeemed, he can be forgiven, but now his reputation's been tarnished, and we have to understand that. That's why we'll talk about why the Bible says a reputation, good reputation, is so valuable. I just met and witnessed to a young man in a park. He has a sex crime, a youth sex crime on his record. Yeah, he had a bracelet on his foot that he had to wear. They keep track of him. He can grow past that in the Lord. He can be forgiven. But you know what? He's probably never going to get away from that his entire life. He's always going to be known as a one-time sex offender. Yeah, that's going to ruin his reputation. So good reputation, bad reputation. You don't want to fall once you're in Christ and earn a bad reputation. The other third reputation would be no reputation, okay? So this could be like new converts that they don't have any experience, they don't have any time, there's nothing much to see yet, but in time, they're going to either have what? A good or a bad reputation, right? We hope it's a good one. It could be those also who have walked in Christ for a while, but they're not vocal about their witness. They don't do any ministry. They keep to themselves. They don't shine their light. And nobody can see what they're doing for the Lord. So they have no kind of reputation. Well, he says he's been a Christian for 10 years. We don't know anything about him. No ministry. He doesn't street witness. He's never given me a gospel card. Doesn't talk about the things of God. No reputation. So if you're new, no problem. We all need to start somewhere. It's understandable you won't have a reputation. If you've been a Christian for years and you have no reputation, you need to really test yourself if you're walking in all the ways of God and what he's called you to do. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Yeah. If we're of God, we should be shining our light and being salt, right? I think so. Now, I need to make a note here. If you're new to the faith, if you're a novice, that means new. And if you have a godly brother, especially an older brother, I encourage you to get close to that older brother or group of men, if they're biblical and godly and holy. And if they have a good reputation in ministry and they have a history and a track record, you learn from them. You prove yourself by working with them, in them, about the ministry. Then you can quickly move on and up to have a good reputation of your own. These men can vouch for you. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. This is a good thing to build on, right? A professional plumber, he can make you a professional plumber very quickly versus you just reading some books about plumbing and trying to do it all on your own. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's just plumbing, let alone all the complications and intricacies of ministry. Very, very important that you learn and be discipled if you have access to godly, seasoned men using their resources, using their ministry as a springboard for God's glory and your own reputation. Let me give you an example. A new brother who has no visible ministry or reputation, no teachings, no website, he hasn't done any of that. And if he has unity to a brother who has that, it's established, he has a website, he has a ministry, and he spends time with him, and they're united in the faith, he can use that resource of that brother to help validate his work, right? As he's doing ministry via that older brother, because we're not all going to be teachers, never. You know, you may never become a teacher, men. You may never become an elder or leader, but you're still going to do ministry. So some men are called to be teachers, leaders, street preachers, evangelists, whatever people are called to. Other people are called to different things, right? So you can use that older brother in his ministry to give proof to your walk, proof that you have accountability, proof and resources. And I can prove that in Scripture. Ready? Let's go there. All through Scripture, we see godly men recommending other godly men. Barnabas recommended Paul. Imagine this. Paul was persecuting the Christians, killing them. Paul becomes a Christian. Nobody in the body of Christ wanted to believe him. Barnabas had to speak up. Ready? Acts 9, 26 through 30. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, now Barnabas was a trusted man among them, took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus and in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and out, going in Jerusalem, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he disputed, yeah, Paul disputed, against the Grecians, that they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. All right, so Barnabas was a trusted brother. Everybody knew Barnabas was a man of God. He had a reputation. He could be trusted. Uh-oh. Apostle Paul, the murderer, why should we trust him? Barnabas speaks up. Paul had been working with Barnabas. Barnabas speaks up and goes, I know Paul. He's a true man of God. I speak for him. And everybody said, good enough for Barnabas. He's good enough for us. There is an example of Paul and Barnabas working together, and Paul was able to use Barnabas' reputation to get favor with the people. How about later, Paul recommends people? Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Yeah, women labor in the gospel a lot. I know sisters that do it. My wife's sister Debbie does it. With Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. I like that. So all through the epistles, Paul's recommending workers, saying, help them, provide for them, do what they ask you to do because they're workers with me. People respected Paul. Anyone Paul vouched for was respected, like with Barnabas. And that can work with our lives today. If you have a man of God and he knows another young brother is striving, an older brother can say, oh, I vouch for him. He is a man of God striving, and that can help his reputation. So my point was, if you have godly men or sisters that you walk with and they have established ministries, draw close, unite to them, and this is going to help you learn, disciple you, train you up, use their reputation and their truth in God if you see no sin in them, so that you can get your reputation. And it's not about who has a good reputation so I can lift myself up. It's about being a worker for God so that God's name is not slandered or smeared and we can glorify God. Amen. What's the purpose of ministry? Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That's our goal, to train up other people for ministry. That's why Sister Debbie and I labor. We don't want to train people up to just sit and watch us do it. We want to train people up so however you're called, you go do it. Okay? And we want to use our resources to help you train you up. You don't need to sit and wait till you have the resources like we have to be a mighty worker of God. You can use our resources if you're united to us and if you see no sin in us to then go out and propagate the gospel. And one day, if you're called to be a teacher or you're called to teach other women, you may be a teacher. You may have your own resources. We may use your resources someday. That would be glorious. Make sense? So, men specifically, ladies too, if you don't have the teaching resources, use others instead of saying to people as you witness to them, sorry, I don't have anything to offer you. I could just give you this Bible. Now, the Word of God is great. That is the best thing. But as I was telling a brother recently, so many false teachers have twisted the Word of God. Just giving the Word of God is not enough. We must rightly divide it. 2 Timothy 2:15. That means cut it straightway. Explain it for people. Unwrap their false doctrine and their heresy. That's why it's good to have teachers and resources to help you do that. You don't have to say, oh, I can't help you. I got nothing. You can say, hey, I'm a newer convert, but I'm united to seasoned teachers. Hey, go check out their resources. They'd love to help you. I'd love to help you. See how this helps grow your reputation. It helps build up their reputation. Ultimately, it's lifting up God's name as the truth goes out. And hopefully, these people start seeking for the kingdom of God with all that they are. I can tell you this. If Brother Paul was alive today and I knew about him, I'd go, I'd be trained by Paul, I'd do as much ministry as I could with Paul, and then when I'd go out to preach, I'd say, oh, I'm of Christ, and I know Apostle Paul. And I'd say, Paul, what saved me? And he would say, I know that brother. I see no sin in him. Help him. Help him do his gospel work. And Paul would vouch for my ministry if I was a godly preacher. Oh, yeah, I would love to have the recommendation of Brother Paul, or any other godly man for that matter. And if I met another godly man in this life, who has a ministry and training, I love to sharpen my sword and draw close to other godly men. It's all for God's glory. It's not about pride. Don't let that rule in you. Let humility rule. None of us are better than others. We all have different gifting. We all have different talents. We've all been at this different times. We all have different experiences. This is all so we become like a recipe. Throw a bunch of things in a pot. Salt, potatoes, noodles, meat, broth, and it all cooks together. It's not about any one thing more than the other. What happens? It all comes together and saturates together, and then the chef that put it all together, yeah, his recipe, because it's his cooking, is glorified. Well, God's brought us all together. We're all part of the recipe. He's glorified when we all come and work together. Doesn't that make sense? Last thought on this. If you've repented and you're born again, and you're following Christ with all that you are, and you have a good reputation in Christ, and you have not fallen in sins that are weighty matters that would bring you down a public fall, that would destroy you from ministry or teaching, guard that with your life, saints. Guard it like you would guard the treasure, that the world would guard their treasure. You know, like how the world guards their treasure? Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name, a good reputation goes a long, long way with God, with God's people, and with seekers that are seeking to come out of the world. The world is always going to trash us, no matter how good our reputation. If they're mockers and they hate God, they call Jesus a wine bibber and a drunkard. We know he wasn't that. Let them lie. That's of the Father Satan. But if you have a true good reputation, the Father's glorified, other saints will see you, and you'll help them, and they can help you, and then seekers will see it and come to that. That's the goal. Brother Paul says this of a teacher, 1 Timothy 3:7. Moreover, he must have a good report, reputation, of them that are which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Yeah, this means a teacher, elder, leader's reputation since being a believer must have a good reputation. You know, how would it look if you had a man that was a teacher for 5 or 10 years, teaching sound doctrine, then he runs off with another man's wife, he robs a bank, he gets caught up in drugs, something of a weighty matter that disqualifies him. He's not holy anymore. He can't easily fix this problem. Now his reputation's ruined. Then he comes back and tries to teach. We've seen many famous preachers try to do this. They make a mockery of God. They've ruined their good reputation. Paul says they shouldn't be teachers anymore. They should stand down, humble themselves, become lowly servants. Go out, hand out gospel cards, but you're not a teacher anymore. You're not a leader. You ruined your chance at that. You could be cleansed and forgiven, but you can't get back your good reputation many times with such weightier manners that happen when it affects our reputation. So obviously he's not talking about sin before Christ. Paul was a murderer, as I said, but he was cleansed, and that was, nobody holds that against him as a Christian, because he served Christ faithfully after he became born again and never fell into any of those sins that would have disqualified him. So, quickly, some advice on having unity with a brother or sister. Before you ever unite to a teacher, they should be sound in reputation since claiming Christ, have years of steadfast service, moving on and up in the truth, not teaching error. They should have a sound gospel. They've come out of the world and fully out of churchianity in the world. They should have a godly home life, godly life themselves, and all things should be in order according to Scripture. They should have proof of the ministry, teaching today with the marketplace being the internet. They should have a website, godly resources, and they should be, this is for all teachers, approachable and testable and teachable. Meaning, they should, other men should be able to come to a man and say, I think you're wrong on this. Can I show you something? And we should listen. Some lady should be able to come to Sister Debbie and say, can I ask you about that? I'm not sure about that. If we think we're above reproach, we're in pride and we are set for the fall. The person should also be holy, never selling God's truth. They should be a servant. They should be there for others as a servant, not lifted up in pride. I'm too good to reach out to people. I have no time to contact people personally. I'm so important in ministry. Look at me. Well, if they're famous and popular on the internet, run from them. They're false teachers. I'm just going to tell you that. Jesus says you'll be hated for his name's sake, not liked by tens or hundreds of thousands of people. Few are going to find eternal life. That word means puny. You're not going to find a lot of people that like you on the internet if you're teaching the full doctrines of God. So that's just some advice for you on who you would link yourself to. That goes along with this good reputation. It's something we should all seek to go after and model. Peter says be a tupos, that means an example. We can all be that. Even if we're novices, we can be examples to other novices coming along. Wow, he's growing fast. Wow, he grew fast in a year. Yeah, we can all be examples to each other, even if you aren't a teacher or a leader. So think about that, saints. Seek a good reputation. Yep, you might have to repair yours from when you were before Christ. If you fell into sin while you were Christian, depending upon the weightiness of your sin, yeah, you might have disqualified yourself as a leader teacher. You've got to have a good reputation. But all that can be worked out, and you can still serve God in many, many various ways. Let it be God's will, not your will, on what you're doing and what you're serving. And seek where you're, serve where you are right now, then seek God's will for your life. Reputation. I hope that helps you. Ponder that. Test me to the Word of God. Let me know how I can help you. Our resources are available to help you. God deserves our very best. Shine on for His glory, saints. Walk in a good and glorious reputation. We love you all. Till next time, I hope that edifies you. May God be praised.